I've got one message here that I'd like to give you first on the unexpected cross, about how things happen in your life that they come so unexpected. And you might be doing good right now, and I hope, pray that you are, but something could happen in your life. The tragedy might come, and then you wouldn't know how to handle it. So I hope that you might sit back and listen to this message on the unexpected cross. And then after that, another message that we had there, we preached on God on the caller ID. It's about God calling your house, and it's like seeing you see him on the caller ID, or in other words, like you know God's calling you to do something, and you won't even pick up the phone and talk to him. And so I hope, pray that this might be a message that might be able to help you too. Now, in both these messages, you'll hear me talk to a preacher brother by the name of Brother Tom or Brother Weston. He's been sick for quite a while. And so I really wanted to try to encourage him and challenge him. And so I hope, pray that this message here at Christmas time might be a blessing to you. May God bless you now, Brother Johnny.
All right. And I sure appreciate each one of you being here tonight from Brother Weston's church, and each one of you visitors here tonight. God bless you. And preacher, I want you to know, praying for you. I want you to know that. God bless you, preacher. I love preachers. I love men of God. I mean, I really do, from the bottom of my heart. I tell you, it's a struggle sometimes. A lot of folk don't think it is, but I tell you what, it's sometimes I've been down the road myself, and I know a lot of times you got to keep stuff in the background. A lot of things you can't tell everybody. There's a lot of things that you got to just kind of just keep it. A lot of times, you got a lot of burdens, you got a lot of hurts, you just got to tough it out and just go and get in your closet and get away with just you and God somewhere. Amen. Get away with the family, take your car down the road, just pull off in the woods out there somewhere and get out. Just roll around in the pine straw and say, God, help me. I don't know how I'm going to make it, God, if you don't help me. I got to have a touch, God, if you don't help me, get me up in this thing. You see, what we do when we come to church, we like to come like Superman. We like to come like, I mean, that we're so strong and we're so spiritual and we ain't got a problem and a heartache nowhere in the world. Is that right? I mean, we got to act like that we're just so happy and we don't have no doubts and we don't have no problems. We've been poked that stuff so much from Kenneth Copeland and Oreo Cookie Roberts and Benny Hinn and all Benny Chicken or whatever you want to call him and all that bunch, until we don't really tell the truth about our experience. Is that right? We don't really tell because we've been sold the bad bill of goods that once you get saved that you don't have no heartache and you don't have no pain and you got plenty of money and you don't get prostate cancer and tuberculosis and you don't have all these things. The only thing wrong with that, it's not so. Is that right? I'm trying to tell you that the children of God a lot of times has lots of disappointments. Is that right? Our lovely Lord himself had lots of disappointments. In Luke's Gospel chapter 17, the Bible said that he cleansed 10 lepers and only one come back, and he said, where are the 9? The Lord himself was disappointed, even though he knew they wouldn't come back. It was in Matthew's Gospel there, when he wept over the city of Jerusalem, he said, oh Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, I would have gathered you as a hen does her chicks, but you would not. So what, Brother John? The Lord had lots of disappointment. The Apostle Paul had disappointment. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 17, he told the church in the Galatia, he said, at one time you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me, but because I'll tell you the truth, now I've become your enemy. Is that right? So there's lots of disappointment a lot of times. But I'm telling you what, if you say, Brother Johnny, I ain't been saved too long, and I had no disappointment, you just hang on, bud. Amen. You better get your shouting done now, because I'm telling you, you're going to go through some days, and listen, I'm telling you, you'll begin to wonder, where in the world is God at? Is that right? I heard these peanut head preachers when I first got saved say that you're not never supposed to question God. It showed that you was weak or didn't have no faith. Could Brother Johnny tell you something? That Christ on the cross himself, he said, my God, is that right? John the Baptist in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. He got to the place that he was so disappointed, he didn't even know. Is that right? He said, is that he, or should I look for another? Is that right? We all go through things of disappointment in our Christian experience. Is that right? All of us. I want to show you something. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, every one of us has a cross to bear. You hear what John is trying to say? Jesus said that to pick up your cross and to follow him. Listen to this. Look at me real quick. I'm trying to tell you something. You see, whatever Jesus said to pick up your cross and follow him, there's nobody chasing us with hammers and nails to be able to nail us to a cross. Your cross nowadays might be sickness. It might be a rebellious son. It might be a mate that you love so much that don't want to get under submission and serve God with you. That might be the cross that you have to bear. Is that right? It's not displaying a cross, it's bearing a cross. Is that right? I was in Mexico here a while back, and they had a bunch of Mexican boys go on street corners, and they were selling these crucifixes, and they were saying, crosses, crosses, cheap, cheap crosses. There is no such thing as no cheap crosses. Is that right? There is no such thing as a cheap cross. I'm trying to tell you tonight that every child of God has a cross to bear. Is that right? Did you hear what I said? Every Christian has something. A Christian without a cross is like a carpenter without a hammer. It's like a seamstress without a sewing machine. It's like a surgeon without a scalpel. Every child of God has a cross to bear. Now maybe you might not have no cross here tonight, but there might be one meets you boy on the way home or before in the morning. Is that right? Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. Matthew's Gospel 27 and in verse 27. Well, Brother Johnny, show you something. Matthew 27 and in verse 27. And it said, and then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus under the common hall and gathered him under the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and they put on him a scarlet robe. Can I stop right there? You were shouting there a while ago. Do you hear what I'm saying? You shouted on that sermon. But when you begin to tell about how the Lord died for you and the suffering and the pain, you get lockjaw. Is that right? You don't open your mouth. Is that right? Bless God, you're a man with a bunch of stinking church dogs. Amen. Is that right? That's what they do. Amen. They'll shout amen as long as you talk about the Holy Ghost, you talk about the Lord, and they won't open their kisser. Amen. Is that right? Huh? I look here, and he said they stripped him. I mean, look, here's somebody that's given his life for me and you. I'm trying to tell you that it ought to break your heart to think that how a man spit in his face and stripped and beat every bit of it for you and me. Look at what he said. He said he was stripped. And it says in verse 28, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And it says, and they spit upon him, and they took the reed and they smote his head, and after that they had mocked him. They took the robe off him and put on his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they were come out, they found the man, a man of Simon of Cyrene, by name, him they compelled to bear the cross of Christ. And when they were come unto the place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of the skull, I can't stop there. I can't leave him on the cross. I just can't stop. Douglas, you're just going to divide. I'm going to stop. I can't do it. Let me show you something. And the Bible said, and the Bible says, if you want to, and the Bible said, talking about how that in verse 44, how that they crucified him, and in verse 50, and when he cried with a loud voice and yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent of in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earthquake and the rocks and the graves were opened up, and many of the saints would sweat come out of the graves after his resurrection and went in the holy city. And now when the centurion heard this, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those saints which are gone, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. And you know the rest of the story. He got up. He didn't stand there long. He got up. Holy God. Is that right? He got up. They put him there. But that's not what I want to preach tonight. I just couldn't leave him there. I just couldn't leave him in the ground. I had to get him up where Mary said, when Mary said that when he spoke her name, and she said, Rabboni, amen. She recognized him because he spoke her voice, her name. Is that right? That man's trying to give me something. That's what I want to give you tonight. I don't know why. I just couldn't do it. Brother preacher, I just couldn't do that. Here's what I want to show you tonight. Back in 52, and the 32, I'm sorry. And they came out, and they found a man, Simon by name, and they compelled him to bear his cross. Amen. Mark this down if you would. There's 8 Simons in the Bible. There's 8 Simons in the Bible. This man here is mentioned here in just 2 verses here. But could Brother Johnny tell you something? This man, Simon of Cyrene, had come from Africa, from Africa where he had come. He had come for 700 miles to do the festivities there in Jerusalem there that day. He come for the Passover feast. He come for 700 miles to be able to be there on that great Passover, on that Atonement Day. He got into Jerusalem that night. Everything was good. I'm sure he went to the motel or wherever he slept at that night, and he laid down that night, Brother Daniel, not having a problem in the world. The next morning he gets up there, and they're taking a lowly Nazarene out to a hill to crucify him. And just for a matter of a few minutes, look at that verse real close, what he says. And in verse 32, and the name was found of man, Simon of Cyrene, and they compelled him. That word compelled means they forced him. They made him carry that cross. I want to give you something here tonight. The unexpected cross. When he went to Jerusalem that day, he was not expecting to be able to carry a cross. That night he went to bed. The next morning he went out there, and they seen this black man, and they told him, I want you to bear this cross. You see, that's the way we do a lot of times. We go to bed at night, everything's hunky-dory, everything's fine. But I'm trying to tell you, in 5 minutes, your world could be turned upside down. Is that right? In 5 minutes, you could be bearing a cross that you ain't ever even thought about. Is that right? And that's what happened to Simon of Cyrene. But I can tell you some better things than that. He had 2 boys by the name of Rufus and Alexander. Rufus and Alexander got saved, and they followed the Apostle Paul. Is that right? I'm trying to tell you that tonight, God forbid, as we sit in this church tonight, you can get a phone call back in the office tonight, and they can let you know that your house burnt to the ground before you ever get home. Tomorrow, tonight, you might come here and enjoy the services. And tomorrow, the doctor could call you and tell you that your report come back, and you got terminal cancer, and you ain't got long to live. Is that right? Is that right? And a lot of times our unexpected cross will come about in your life and in my life. Not very long back, I got through preaching at 12:30 on a Sunday morning. I got through preaching I was walking out of the back door of the church. Just as I reached for the doorknob to go out of the church, I mean, just got through preaching the gospel. Never knew that I had a blood clot in my left leg, passed up my side here, paralyzed my left side, knocked my right eye out. 5 minutes later, I was bearing a cross. I was shouting and rejoicing with other saints. And 5 minutes later, I was laying flat on my back in the Baptist hospital, and the devil screaming in my ear that I'd never preach again, that I'd never get up again, that my days was over with. Is that right? And that can happen to you, and that can happen to me. Is that right? A lot of times, a cross will come about. God forbid. Tomorrow you might be down on your job somewhere and they call you and tell you that one of your kids went to school today and they might have had a shooting down there, and God forbid that it be one of your children, but it very well could be. There you are tonight in your church enjoying the Lord, and tomorrow be bearing a cross. Is that right? Huh? You say, Brother Johnny, they don't have the church people. You're crazy. Amen? Is that right? I had my good friend of mine that takes care of our tapes in Oklahoma. His mom and daddy been to church that morning. They've been a member of that church for about 40 years. They got home that afternoon on a Sunday afternoon. You know how Baptists like to lay around and sleep on Sunday afternoon. He went back to the bedroom. She was laying on the couch. While she was laying there, the back door opened up, and she thought it was one of her sons coming in. The four robbers come into that house there and beat her merciless. They pistol whip her. All four of them raped that woman there. Went back there to the bedroom to throw on the bed. There was her 70-some-year-old husband. They pistol whipped him so bad, they left him for dead. They took a 25 automatic, put the back of her head to kill her. But the bullet ricocheted, and she lived through that. But here's the story. You see, when they went in that house on Sunday afternoon, that lady was laying on the couch reading her Bible. When them guys broke in, she thought it was her sons. They reached up. She had a Bible laying on her bosom like this. They took that Bible, and they threw that Bible away. They raped that woman. They shot that woman. They beat her within a half inch of life. Come on, John, to tell you something. As God would so have it. They hunted for those men, and they hunted for those men, and the police come back and said, is there anything that they touch here in this house? She said, the only thing that I know they touch is my Bible. They took that Bible to the FBI in the state of Oklahoma, got their fingerprints on it, and all four of them swimming time right there. Glory to God! The Word of God got them. Is that right? Huh? You're saying you might be doing good tonight, but God forbid you could.